This morning we're looking at a topic that is very frequent in our society. Ironically, on the way down here this morning, I heard individuals on the radio talking about this topic. The title of our sermon this morning is Growing Through Worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34 will be our text this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I'm sure it's verses that we are familiar with. We think about our society today, our pandemic, different things that we worry about. Hopefully, as we start to see the sunshine in recent days, the hope of this evening being light out an hour later because of our time change. As we get into spring, which will be next weekend, the official start of spring, some of us have started to see crocuses and lilies and or whatever flowers, daffodils starting to come up out of the ground, and we have that hope of life coming. It was a cold, rainy, sunny morning in the north of Scotland. The preacher was standing in front of the building, and as he looked around the building, there was only him and a scruffy-looking guy at the back of the church. When 6 o'clock struck, the preacher walked over to the man and said, "Hey, look, it's cold, it's wet, it's only you and me. Do you think we should cancel the service for this evening?" The guy looks up at the preacher and says, "Son, I've farmed in this area for 30 years. Hail, rain, or shine, I go out to feed my sheep. I don't worry if one comes or 100 show up. I do my job, and I feed the sheep." This upsets the preacher. So he storms down to the front. He marches into the pulpit and preaches solid for an hour and a half. When he finishes, he walks smugly up to the man at the back and says, "Well, what do you think of that then?" The shepherd looks up at the preacher and says, "Son, I farmed in this area for 30 years. Hail, rain, or shine, I go out to feed my sheep. I don't worry if one shows up or 100 show up. I do my job and feed the sheep like I told you. But son, if only one turns up, I don't dump the whole load on it." Sister Steele, years ago, told me that story. I would like to start this morning by asking you to think back to December 31st, 1999. Yep, every one of us is old enough to remember that. Do you remember people getting hyped up for one singular event? It wasn't just the start of a new year. It wasn't just the start of a new decade. It wasn't even the start of a new century. Do you remember that was the changeover to the new millennium? 2000. For me, one of the most used phrases of that year was, "This will be the last whatever of the millennium. This will be the last World Series of this millennium. This will be the last eclipse of this millennium. This will be the last opening of Parliament, or this will be the last doing this and that of this millennium." The last New Year's Eve of that millennium. But what was the one thing that was going on to concern us most in this new millennium coming up? Do you remember the worry about the millennium bug? Why? Because no matter what precautions had been taken, we were still not certain what was going to happen just seconds into January 1st, 2000. Many people thought that all computers would stop working. Some thought that it was the end of the world. Now, fast forward to today. This morning, and I'd like you to ask yourself, what is the one thing that you are afraid of that will hit you hard today? Is it a financial crisis? A job crisis? A relationship crisis? A spiritual crisis? What is the one thing that you are most afraid of happening to you this week? I believe one of the most difficult commandments found in the Bible is found in Philippians 4 and 6. In Philippians 4 and 6, we hear the words, do not be anxious. But how many times have you heard someone say that they are worried sick? We have probably said that. The Bible says, do not be anxious. But how many times say, oh, I'm worried sick over this? For us parents, how many times have we sat on the couch waiting for our children to come home? Or our grandchildren? We sit there and wait until they arrive. Then we feel a little more relieved. Do you know what doctors are prescribing more and more of today? Probably the number one prescription is for drugs for anxiety. It is far more than any other illness. And do you know that the single most sin that will steal our joy is the sin of worry? Today, instead of going to our own doctor, I would like you to refer to the great physician. And now I'd like to look at our text for this morning. We know that Jesus is the great physician. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, Jesus tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. Every time we read a familiar verse or passage in the scripture, like this one, I believe we still always get something out of it. I'd like you to look first at the few words in verse 25. Do not worry about your life. Have you ever considered this? Worry is the fine that we pay when we look for life in all the wrong places. When we look for life in things that weren't intended to give life. When we worry about something that will be tragic. We worry about that inevitable result. Notice in this passage, Jesus admits that we're all going to be seekers. We will all pursue something with a great deal of zeal. We're all created by God to need something to live for, something to give meaning to our existence, and something to set our hearts upon. Notice Jesus didn't say in verse 33, stop seeking. He did not say that. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are we going to seek out this week in our lives? Note, we can't control tomorrow. If you are trying to find life in the wrong places, you will just sit there and be a worrier. There's a famous writer named Thomas Carlyle who used to write, from what I understand, in an attic room to get away from all distractions. Even though he was sitting in the solitude of the attic, there was still one thing that bugged him. It was a neighbor's rooster, which crowed three times daily. This drove Carlyle nuts. So he went to his neighbor and complained. The neighbor couldn't see the problem. In his mind, he said the rooster only crows 3 times a day. But Carlyle said that it wasn't the suffering he endured when the rooster crowed. It was the suffering that he endured waiting for it to happen. And that's what worry does. We suffer while we wait for something to happen. There's something unique about that worry, because worry is a pain. It can steal our joy, and it can make us miserable. Some things will come this week that you cannot predict, but you will just have to handle anyhow. But there's a difference in what we can't predict and worry. Worry is a pain we inflict upon ourselves that does not have to be there. It cannot make us 1 inch taller. It can't make us live one day longer, according to what we read in Matthew 6 and 27. But it can shorten our lives considerably. What good is it for us to worry? We are inflicting on ourselves the pain that is absolutely useless and does not help us in one iota. The fact is that all our worrying will not give us control of tomorrow. It will only make us miserable for today. Jesus has an even sharper rebuke against the sin of worry. If we look at Matthew 6:25, you are more than just a body. You are created for more than just eating and dressing. Jesus here tells us that we are more than just a machine that needs to be maintained. We look at our society today, and many of us think about, will we ever be replaced by technology and robotics? More and more, we see you go into grocery stores and you have the self-check counters instead of the actual cashier that you go through and talk to. The automation, many of us remember when you used to dial 0 and actually talk to an operator on the phone. And now it's all, please listen closely because our menu has changed. For so-and-so, dial will push 1. For so-and-so, push 2. How many times have you really wanted just to talk to somebody and you've got that animated voice system? I just keep hitting 00 star, anything they tell me not to hit, to try to get it to confuse, and then it'll say, no, I see we're having trouble. Let me get you to a representative. And I think, well, that's what I wanted in the first place. You think about where we're at. Jesus is saying, you're more than a machine. You're not just a machine that eats and gets dressed and looks pretty for the day. But we think for a moment. How many people live their lives in a way in which that's what they think? They think this is all there is. If we were only here today and gone tomorrow, then I would tell us, go out and eat, drink, be merry, go for it. But what were the words that we hear of? There was an individual in the Bible that said, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Like, what do we have to worry? And what were the next verses? Thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. We could all go around. If that's all it was, we could go around. And if all life was just a once go around, then we could enjoy all the materialism that we want. And we can handle, we can worry ourselves to death on what we would do with all our wealth if there was no tomorrow. Is that true? But Jesus says what about the pagans? You only go around once? That's not true. He says that kind of orientation is absurdly unworthy of what a human being really is. He's calling us for a higher ambition. Jesus says we're much more than anything that can be fed or dressed. In our text, he tells us that the one thing we should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We will worry tomorrow, not because our pains are too big, not because our problems are too big, but because our goals are too small. We are meant for more than just preserving the body. We were created to enjoy and to promote the rulership of God in this world. If that is our priority, we can see that goal. This, by the way, is the only goal which is truly worth what a human being should be striving for. We can think that that goal, no matter what happens, illness may come, and we can still seek the goal of enjoying and promoting the kingdom of God. We could lose our job. An investment can go wrong. But nothing can happen to us tomorrow that can keep us from the goal of serving God. That is worthy of who we really are. God is bigger than whatever we might try to find life in. We worry because our goals are too small. And also, it's a sign that we put God in a place that is too small in our lives. It says that we don't understand who God is or what he's capable of doing. In Psalms, Old Testament Psalm 145 and 16, it says, "You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing." The Bible says we are in the hands of God. He opens up his hands and provides every living thing which is needed by us. And we are in good hands with God. You have the commercial, I believe it's Allstate. You're in good hands. What better hands we are when we are living to serve God and we are in the hands of that all-powerful God. The problem with worry is it makes us forget the promises of God. What can we read in Romans 8 and 32? Romans 8 and 32 tells us God didn't spare his own son, but handed over him to death for all of us. So he will also give us everything along with him. That doesn't mean we don't have to work. Working is one way God gives us the ability to provide for us and our family. He gives us the ability to work. It doesn't mean we ignore others' needs. When we see a need, we shouldn't say, "Trust in God, he'll meet your needs." God could be meeting the needs through our generosity. We know that in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus compares what the kingdom will be like, what does he say? He parts right and left. For those that are condemned, Jesus says, "I was hungry, but you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was naked, and you clothed me not." And the individuals looked and said, "Jesus, when?" Well, if they would have known it was Jesus, they would have done all those things, right? But what did Jesus say? "That which you do unto the least of these my brethren, that's what you also do unto me." It goes along with our scripture reading this morning. That may we realize that we, our actions, are expected. So we are not to worry. When Jesus says don't worry about food or drink, he's not saying don't work. He's not saying don't share. He's not even saying that we won't have problems. He did say every day has its own problems in our text, verse 34. What did he mean by this? Well, God knows what we need, and God is faithful. And God will see to it that we have everything we need to put his kingdom first. God knows that we will have trials. We know that we will have trials. God has told us that. But he does not give us anything more than what we can bear, but we have to work it out. We read examples throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, the trying of faith. We think of Job and how Job's faith was tried. He suffered, but he kept God in his vision. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament suffered much, but yet we see that he was willing to fight that good fight, as he said, because he knew that prize that was set up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was the attitude that Paul had. He sought first the kingdom of God and followed what God had planned for him. We are not born worriers. Worry is a learned habit. And since it is learned, that means it can be unlearned also. When worry knocks on our door today, tomorrow, in the future, we don't have to let it in. Just because we let it in the past doesn't mean that we have to continue to do so. May we today establish the grounds. In education today, the buzzword is coping strategies, coming up with ways of coping. Today, I ask you to cope with your worry by talking to God. If there is one resolution we should make for tomorrow, it is to spend more time turning our problems, our worries, over to God. Can you imagine what would happen if you spent time praying instead of worrying? We would have much less to worry about. God will always listen to any of our problems, and by improving our prayer lives, we are recognizing that God is the one that's in control, not us. Something else will happen. When we pray, we receive the greatest cure for happiness. It is a cure over worry, because we experience the touch of the eternal. So I'm going to go back to Philippians 4. The first part I told you says, do not be anxious. Do you know what the rest of the verse says? Do not be anxious, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and supplication or request while giving thanks. God is going to respond to our prayer when we talk to him about our concerns. He will respond in two ways. He will do something about that concern if it's in accordance to his will. And he's going to send us a peace that passeth all understanding. In Philippians 4 and 7, the very next verse, it says, then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard you through thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. While we pray, God sends us a peace that we simply cannot understand, because it goes beyond all understanding. God protects us from unnecessary worry. We turn that worry over to God. We give it to him in prayer. But remember, when we finish praying, don't take the worry back, because that defeats the purpose. Leave that worry with God. In Psalm 55 and 22, it says, Psalm 55:22, turn your burdens over to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will never let the righteous person stumble. Perhaps that's what Peter had in mind when we go to the New Testament. In 1 Peter 5:7, it tells us, turn all your anxiety over to God because he cares for you. We see that worry, anxiety, means, it's a Greek word from what I understand, it means distraction. Or it comes from the Greek word distraction. And what Peter and Jesus are both saying is, don't let your basic everyday needs distract you from seeking the kingdom of God today. to turn to God, we need to let go. Let go of the worries. Let go of the cares of this world. Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. How often does he share his compassion with us? Every day, every morning. When the Israelites were in the desert, how often did God supply manna for them? In Exodus 16 and 4, it tells us that the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. But what was their attitude a little bit? Manna again? The Lord was providing for them. It wasn't easy, I'm sure, but then they started to complain. We know that is what we are not supposed to do. We turn to God, we turn to God in prayer. God will provide ways for us. And we have to fully entrust in his way. The Lord supplied their food and their needs every day. Jesus said earlier in Matthew 6 and 11, give us this day our daily bread. So as I wrap this up, are we missing our reason to rejoice today because of something that will happen tomorrow? Don't let tomorrow keep you from living today fully. We've got today to hug our kids. We've got today to give someone a smile. We've got today to make a new friend or to do something for the elderly, or in our case, for the young. We've got today to read our Bibles and get down on our knees to worship God. We've got today. Don't let tomorrow waste it. Jesus says to us, don't let food, drink, clothes, or even tomorrow distract you from serving God today, because he'll take care of those things for you. A verse that I'm sure we always hear, I love, Psalm 118 and 24. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I don't know what will come to each and every one of us tomorrow. I don't know what distractions will come our way. But I do know that when worry knocks, we don't have to let it in. We can let faith in instead. And we can let faith in by reminding ourselves of the chorus which says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now, if you're not a Christian, you've got to ask yourself an honest question. What are we worrying about today? What's happening in our lives which is stopping us from turning our lives over to Jesus this morning? Wouldn't it make more sense to give your worries and your life over to someone who can control tomorrow? You can't control tomorrow. People in politics, politicians, can't control tomorrow. But your friends and family can't control tomorrow. No one can control tomorrow but God. And each one of us by turning ourselves over to God. Let me encourage you to seek someone today about how Jesus can remove all your anxieties and help you live your life for him one day at a time. If there's anyone this morning that is in the need of turning their life over to God and Jesus by repenting of their sin and being buried with him in baptism, or if there's anyone that has a need for the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is, you have a chance to make it right as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.